Are you saying you faked with me?
Yeah.
Wrong. Now you're single.
What do you know about sexual relations?
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I'm a little worried about being a slut.
You're listening to the Come With Us podcast, talking the good, the kinky, and the ugly. Here are your hosts, Beth, Aaron, and Tina.
Hello, 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 all you sexy holes and poles. Welcome to another episode of Come With Us podcast, where you're part of all the naughty, sexy, fun conversations that everyone wants to listen in on. Today, we're talking about the open secret sore spot for lovers everywhere, fake orgasms. It happens to all of us. We receive fake orgasms and we give fake orgasms. Today, we're going to talk about why, how you might be able to tell, what you might be able to do to prevent it, or what to do if you just think that they're faking it. I'm Beth Darling, sexy genius here from sexyedschool.com, where smart, successful, and even spiritual people go for their graduate degree in love. I am so pleased to be with you and here with Aaron and Tina. And I know you guys have a lot to say about fake orgasms. Woo!
For sure. For sure.
It's kind of sad that this is a topic that I think everybody can relate to. And I swear, if there's anybody out there who thinks that they've never been with someone who faked an orgasm, I think they've just been with people who did a really good job faking, or they're terrible at noticing, right? Because I think 95% of women admit to faking orgasms.
Well, I mean, the first three lines of our freaking our intro are talking about faking orgasms, and we haven't tackled this in over a year. But I mean, this has been a crusade of yours for, God, as long as I've known you, what, 6 years now?
Yeah.
About faking orgasms and why it's wrong and you shouldn't do it. And
right.
I mean, it came to us because, you know, a few weeks ago, there's a New York City DJ who's on like every urban and hip hop station in the country. He and his wife are releasing a tell all book that, you know, she used it. She said she used it in a fight against him when they got into it. And that was her, like, that was what she thought was going to be the big blow to win the argument, is that she said she's been faking every orgasm since they got married or since they got together.
And it had been like 10 years or something.
Yeah. I think it's all a publicity stunt, but still it doesn't, whether the story is true or not, it doesn't mean we shouldn't address the topic of faking orgasms and whether or not you are doing it, your partner's doing it, and, well, your feelings on it.
10 years is a huge amount of time.
Right?
That's shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
So. I said, and personally, I think that if they were doing this just as a publicity stunt, she wouldn't have said every orgasm. She would have said, I faked most, because faking all of them, you know, most of us are like, holy crap. But
that's what means the publicity stunt. Yeah. The over-exaggeration of it.
Maybe. Well, but one way or the other, I know from clients, like in real life, that there are a lot of relationships in which, even though the couple loves each other, generally it's the females. I want to say some men. I do know some men that have faked it, but generally it's a lot of females that have faked a lot of orgasms in their happy relationship. And that is kind of sad, I think. So.
I mean, I think I don't want to indict anyone's happy relationship, but to me, if you're faking it, and again, like we talked about this before we started recording, like, you know, there are, and I think there are certainly different levels of orgasm. You know, there's edging, there's all this type of stuff. And like, you know, as long as you're honest about the sex that you're having, I think...
But that's the problem. Faking is not being honest.
Yeah. And I think if you're not honest in your sex life, there's something lacking, even though you may seemingly be in a happy relationship. That's what I was trying to say. So,
yeah. Okay. So let's think about, so why do we think people fake an orgasm?
Obviously,
Aaron, why does your wife, Tina? Yeah. Go ahead, Tina. Why do you fake an orgasm?
I would say the number one thing is to validate your partner, and then probably to get, like, if you're tired and you know, you don't want to be having sex, or you want to finish, you know, you want You want it to end. So you I would say between end. Those two, uh-huh. I would say that's mostly where the majority lies.
Yeah. What do you think, Aaron?
I mean, that it's about, you know, making them feel like they did what they set out to do, or protecting their ego, whether you think it, you know, they need it or not. And that kind of, I mean, that's where 90% of it stems, or probably 80%. The other 20, or the other 15 of that remaining 20 is probably what Tina said of like, hey, I'm tired of this. I want to get it over with. Mm-hmm. Let's just, if I act like I did, will you get off of me now? Kind of thing.
Well, one goes hand in hand with the other, kind of, you know, you validate your partner and then it's kind of over. So,
yeah.
Or so I think.
Yeah.
But mostly I think it's just about, again, not like hurting your partner's feelings or making them feel, you know.
Yeah. So I think that's true. If you're in an ongoing relationship, I think a lot of it is about the other person's ego and their pride. I think also, though, I think it is a way of just ending things when you're not that into it. Like when it's just not that exciting. Because quite frankly,
I have definitely done that.
Yeah. And when it's really exciting, we are not in a big hurry. I mean, we want the orgasm, but we're not in a hurry for it to end. We might be in a hurry to get to an orgasm. Mm-hmm. So I think that oftentimes it's because it's just i.e. maybe it's sexy and it's a little bit of fun, but and sometimes I think there's expectations, or we feel like it's an obligation that isn't about us. It becomes again about making them feel good.
Or I think also we don't like this. There's a small percentage, like sex can sometimes start to hurt after a while.
Yeah.
So it can be physically uncomfortable. Like I've actually been experiencing a lot of issues right now with like sex is like becoming, I think it's just like, I've had like some few bladder infections and stuff like that. But I know, like, for example, like my mother and stuff, like a lot of women experience endometriosis and stuff. So sex, like, I don't think it's not that she doesn't enjoy sex, but like to her, it's just physically painful. I know there are obviously like ways to get around it and you can have a full sexy life, you know, without penetrative sex, but sometimes, you know, I've been feeling it lately, like after 30, 40 minutes of like pounding, you're like, ow, like this
Shit. Yes. Well, and that's where lube comes in too.
Yeah. Lube is like super important.
That should be key. But yeah, I pretty much say 30 or 40 minutes of pounding, any woman of any age is going to get dry, right? Yeah. Our bodies are just not, they're not endless fountains of moisture. No,
I think that's also like what's been happening to me. Like,
yeah,
I get so wet, but I'm not used to like going for this long and like the squirting and all this stuff. Like, I just think it's like too much right now.
Yeah.
I'm giving my vagina a break for a week. I started celibacy yesterday, 2 days ago.
There you go. So. Okay. All right. I think that's good. So, I would say though that, men fake much less than women, but men do fake orgasm. The statistics are really hard to come by because they can't survey everybody and people tend to lie.
Isn't that easy to prove though? If a man is faked,
you would think, but sometimes if they're using condoms, then that's don't necessarily see it.
Or if you're sometimes shooting blanks,
I guess. Men can orgasm without having any, spooge actually be ejaculated either. Some men, if they've had any testicular issues or stuff like that, sometimes if you've had a vasectomy, you have much less spooge and stuff to come out. And sometimes instead of ejaculating externally, the semen can go back up. It's called a retrograde ejaculation, where it just goes up the urethra into the bladder instead of being expelled from the body. So there are things, times where men will orgasm without having any ejaculate. So you can't always tell like that, but certainly if your partner usually does and then doesn't, that would be an indication. But it's harder for men to get away with it, quite frankly. But I think it's also, sadly, I think it gets easier for women because we don't want to see things we don't like, and we don't want to believe that somebody fakes it. So we are willing to just accept things that work in our favor. Sure. Oh, yeah, that was great. Oh, God, that was amazing, honey. And we're like, oh, yeah, cool. And we don't really actually pay close attention. So, and that's how, so the next issue is, how do you tell if somebody's faking an orgasm? Right. How do you tell?
I mean, you know, I would say like,
you tell when you do, Tina?
Yeah, I would say like an orgasm is like a pretty full body experience, at least for me. Okay. Like I shake and I like, you know, like I feel like it would be difficult. There's actually one pretty good telltale sign that I've always had that it's real, which is like kind of weird to me. I get horrible because I tense up so much. I get horrible. And these days, actually, they're becoming worse and worse. They used to just be in my feet, but like Charlie horses in my calves.
Yeah.
And it's like a, during. Like, because I get tense. So basically, it's like I clench everything and it gets like, it's so powerful that like I'll end up getting these horrible, like it's really like almost every time. Like it happens, and then it just like it hurt. It's painful, but like,
so that the cramp will continue during your orgasm.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a really intense Charlie horse. Sometimes I can like feel it coming on, and you know I can like, you know, figure it out. It usually only happens like the first time, but I think it's just like, for me, it's just like this full body, you know. But and then again, like I would like what I want to. For me, I have, like, not every orgasm is the same for me, if that makes sense. Like,
right. No,
I have little ones.
Right.
And then usually, like, a big kind of, like, release, you know, or...
Okay, so, but how then, you faked, I know, you've told me, you faked a ton of times.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you,
yeah.
People haven't called you out on it, right?
I don't know if people didn't know it wasn't true.
Okay.
I just maybe think that they'd, like...
They ignore it.
They ignore it, or like, you know.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Aaron, what about you? Can you tell when your wife fakes an orgasm? I assume she's faked an orgasm.
She has on the record faked one, our entire relationship.
Really?
Yep. It was when we were dating, and I found, so I don't know what it was. We were watching a TV show or reading something while we're sitting on the couch together while you're dating, and I was like, hey, here's a fun question. Have you ever faked with me? And she was like, like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, oh. And at first, like, it did bruise my ego for all of about 3 minutes, maybe, if that. And then my like competitive I guess hardworking side kicked in and was like, okay, cool, we're gonna fix this because we're not gonna have this happen again. And then and we had a big talk about it of like, okay, one, if you're not getting there from something I'm doing, one, you need to communicate it to me, and I will do whatever needs to be done to get you there. And then and then we came up with option two, and was like, look, if you know you're not there mentally and you don't feel like you're gonna get there, you'd rather, you know, like, my ego's not gonna get any more hurt by this, just tell me, like, hey, not gonna work, we're gonna have to, you know, maybe we'll try again later, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I also think it's important to, like, I think there's a big part of faking is, like, you don't want to burden someone by taking too long, you know? Like, for women, it obviously takes longer to, like, orgasm. So, I think a lot of times women feel like, oh, like, you know, he's ready to finish, like,
yeah,
you know, so I need to finish.
Well, so, and actually, so that's one of the keys to telling if a woman is faking an orgasm is the length of time, because generally, it takes a woman 18 to 20 minutes of really fairly intense arousal to get to orgasm. Men, it's a shorter period of time. And so if a woman, you know, if you're just kind of starting and it hasn't been this big buildup, I mean, sometimes maybe you've been having all sorts of sexy fun before you really start being focused on that and stuff. But otherwise, if this is just, you've just kind of started and you're going along and she's coming in the first 5 or 10 minutes, that might be a clue that it's not real. And I think that paying attention is absolutely the key, because especially if you're with a partner that you know, you pretty much after a few months, you know what they, how their arousal template is, right? How they usually go from this happens at first, this happens, then this. You can tell by their grip, whether they're really gripping you hard, whether their body is moving, whether they're just kind of, you know, thinking about other things. And that's where eye contact can make a big difference, because it's really hard to look at somebody in the eye and fake something. It's just really hard. It's also really hard to be looking somebody in the eye during sexy stuff and thinking about the grocery list or the errands or things like that. We generally will move our eyes. We will shift our gaze so that we're thinking about something else. So if somebody's looking at you during orgasm, it's much more likely that that's real than than it's fake.
But not all positions you can like look at your partner.
That's true. Yeah.
So
that is very true. But then having them talk, if you can't look them in the face, look them in the eye, having them talk, because we can tell from different breaths and we can tell from how their voice is and how composed they are, whether or not they're really in the throes of sexy turn on. And again, it's much easier with somebody that you know. If it's just a hookup, then it's hard. You know, you just, who knows? Of course, you should be able to tell, because female orgasm is going to be, there are going to be contractions in the pussy, in the vaginal area and stuff. So if you have a cock in there, you can tell that if you pay attention. If you're not noticing some squeezing, then it's probably faking. If you put your finger in and there's no squeezing during oral, for example, then you can kind of.
Yeah, think. The squeezing one's a big one.
Yes, that's pretty much the big telltale sign. Mm-hmm. So, but I think then in terms of if you think somebody is faking, I don't know that it's really helpful sometimes to call them out on it though. Like sometimes I think it's better to talk about what did you really like? Tell me what really gets you there, or what did you want more of, et cetera. And that way it might be easier, because people feel bad. If they're faking, they're avoiding things for a reason. And yes, it's your ego, but it's also some part of theirs too. But if you think somebody's faking it all the time, then you really should think about, well, what would please you more? What would turn you on more? And the way that you can really help things, if you really want to and you're committed to it, is to take your orgasm off the table, so that your orgasm isn't at play, where the entire focus is simply on sexy fun and pleasure, and to notice what's going on. Because otherwise, I think what happens is too often women, we see sexy fun and we think it's supposed to be like the same journey. Okay, he needs this journey. He needs this route to get to orgasm. So I'll just go along with that route to get to his orgasm. But that's not necessarily the route that gets us to our orgasm.
I have a interesting proposal. I was just thinking about this in my head. So obviously not everyone's libido is this high, but generally, like when you wake up in the morning, I think like morning sex, like a lot of guys, and I may be wrong, like most guys wake up with hard-ons and they're looking kind of to get off and stuff, or like, you know, and usually like morning sex, at least the morning sex I've always had has been like much quicker, you're tired, and the guy usually does finish. But at night, I feel like most of the time, like if I have sex in the morning and I have sex at night, like I feel like at nighttime, it's a lot more like about me, and like he lasts way longer, and like he makes sure that I'm like finishing well. In the morning, I feel like maybe it's like a little bit more about him. And I know like that doesn't, you know, it's not every relationship is going to be like that, I understand, but like, you know, that's an interesting way to maybe like, or a different perspective on it, or, you know, something like that.
I think that as a couple, I think it would be healthy and totally fine if everybody is in agreement to say, okay, we're going to have, even if it's not every day, but right. let's say every other day, you're going to have morning sexy and, yeah. and sexy fun. And then every other day, you're going to have evening sexy fun. And in the morning, he gets to kind of dictate, right?
Right.
Take the path that works yeah. for him. Okay. Right, right. And then acknowledge that that may or may not be the path that gets her off. Mm-hmm. And then the evenings, flip it. And so take the path that does work for her, whether or not that's his path. See if mm-hmm. he can adjust to that. If he can, great. If not, okay. But you know, the funny thing is that we're so used to thinking of heterosexual couples, but the fact is lesbians, right? There's this thing called the orgasm gap. It's the gap between how often men have orgasms in the midst of sexy fun versus women in heterosexual sex. Well, that gap lowers in terms of, so I think 95% of men in a heterosexual coupling will experience orgasm, and women, it's only like, I don't know, 65-75%. I've forgotten the exact numbers, but there's a big gap. It's bigger than the wage gap. But with lesbians, they have a much higher instance, like 85% of orgasming during sexy fun. And it's because they don't just end when one of them has an orgasm. And that's typically what happens in heterosexual couples. He orgasms and everybody's like, okay, that's the end. And that's kind of silly. So again, I don't think sexy fun, it should be completely goal-oriented towards orgasm, but I do think that both people's orgasm should matter and be important, and that the focus needs to be on pleasuring both of them. And if they want to get to orgasm, giving the time and attention and affection that they need. But then women cut it off too, because we do, we feel selfish. Like, oh no, he's been down there too long. But I don't know too many guys, well, after a while they might be, but generally a guy is happy to pound and is like, oh, I should keep going, right? This is good. She really likes this. I need to keep it going.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, just come already. Good God. Like, yeah. you know, frankly, I get bored. But.
Yeah. And I would agree. Like, you know, there isn't, I don't think you should feel guilty or like feel like you're taking too long.
Right.
Or, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, if you do, then I think that's something to talk about and to maybe make your partner understand that, like, it isn't that easy and, you know.
Right.
Or
because a lot of women will orgasm by themselves, but not with a partner. In yeah. large part because they're worried about the time, because they're worried, oh, and then they're worried about what they're going to look mm-hmm. like or whether they're going to make weird noises when they orgasm and things like that. So all of those play into a woman's proclivity, if you will, to just fake it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's funny because like the whole thing about time, like I think when you're alone, you know, and generally like you know, you want to come. And also like we really haven't talked about, but like, you know, like the difference between penetrative sex and the use of toys, like it's really important. Like, you know, generally I think like sometimes like I can come just from penetrative sex, but most of the time, like it's going to take something else. Or
direct clitoral stimulation, yeah. right? Let's, you know, just face it. Only 25% of women generally yeah. will orgasm from penetrative sex yeah. alone. And 75% of women require direct clitoral stimulation to orgasm.
Yeah. So
the facts.
I think, you know, it's, but again, like, I think like if you're worried about the time and stuff, I think it's more like you're in your own, you're right. You're in your own head, you know, like when yeah. you're alone and you don't have to worry about that, all that kind of stuff. I think you should like think about how long it actually takes you to finish. And like, generally for me, it doesn't take like more than 10 minutes, 20 minutes to finish when I'm alone, to be honest. And I know this may be different for other women and like, yeah. I understand, but like, you know, so, and I think like, you're right. If the partners.
But so, yeah. So what partners can do is make sure that they give assurance to each partner that I really want to be doing this. You know, as Aaron said, for years, I've been saying, don't fake an orgasm. Don't fake a blowjob, right? Don't fake sexy fun. Just don't fake things.
Yeah.
So therefore, like if you're going to go down on a woman, then tell her, I want to be here. Like, I'm going to stay down here as long as I want to. And you can actually sort of relieve her of the burden by telling her, I'm going to stay here for 25 minutes. If you orgasm, great. If you don't orgasm, great. If you orgasm three times, great. I'm not going to stop just because you orgasm. Like, this is what I want and it's going to be fun. And then a woman can kind of go, oh, okay, this is him. He's okay with it. He's not like, it's not my job to cut this short. He's not going out of his way or suffering for me. This is pleasure for him. And that's, mm-hmm. I think we kind of confuse, they call it a blow job and going down on her, but really women tend to think that going down on us is a job. And that's kind of silly. So help let your partner know that it is not, it's your pleasure. And then stay there for a while. Don't let her be like, oh no, that's enough. Just like, no, change it up. But if you don't see her going on this sort of escalator up the arousal platform, you know, then talk to her about what you can do. Be like, oh, do you like this better or this better? And then watch her. And I say, do it for, F-O-R, focus, observe, and respond. Don't just do what you know. Don't just do circles left and right. Don't just do the alphabet on her clit because that's what you know. Be willing to learn different things and kiss in different places and tease and use your hands as well as your mouth. And, you know, maybe rim her, maybe stick a finger in her ass, maybe stick fingers in her pussy and play with her G-spot at the same time as you're licking her clit. Explore and notice. And when she starts getting ramped up, don't freaking stop. Keep going. Keep adding to that, because that's the other thing, is that people will start and be like, oh, this is going well. And then they like go, okay, now I'll coast. And coasting lets us fall right back down the hill, yeah. I think.
I also think with orgasms, like with real ones, there's also this like recovery time afterwards. Like you would know it was real for women or and for men. Like things are just more sensitive. Like for me, like your yeah. clit just becomes super sensitive. It just like everything is just more like you're kind of, because you're so tense, like you're, I feel like still coming down. You'd still yeah. be spasming. I don't know. All those things, you know?
Right. It can, but interestingly, right, for men really need that time. They usually can't have another orgasm until they've had some recovery period. But women, once we've actually had one orgasm, the second orgasm is usually easier to get to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. I agree.
Because, so men have these, you know, this, oh, and I forget the science of it, but basically it shuts off. As soon as they orgasm, then all the blood starts leaving and flowing away, right? It's like this valve after orgasm opens and all the blood releases and their cock gets soft. And so they have to wait until that valve is able to close again to keep all the blood in. Women, we don't have that stuff. So it does take us longer to, quote, recover from orgasm, because all the blood doesn't flow away instantaneously. Our clit is still more engorged, is fuller with blood flow, and thus much more sensitive. And it can stay that way if we keep it going. Mm-hmm. If we wait, then slowly the blood starts going away and things calm down. But that's just one of the genetic, biological, anatomical, whatever it is, one of the reasons that orgasms are different for men and women.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's it. So that's another thing. If you think a woman has faked the first one, then you could actually keep going and try and give another one and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Hey, I mean, you know.
Yeah, try something else
or
check her sensitivity level.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it was like growing up, teenage and early 20s years, it was always the like, well, women can have multiple orgasms back to back, but you never really also understood that, like, hey, there needs to be like a 30-second reprieve in between. You can't get them to go over that waterfall and then immediately put them right back on the freaking top of the whatever it's called, the waterfall ride at Disney World. Like,
yeah.
Give them a second to breathe and catch their breath, and then you can go back to it. Because if you are that type of person that wants to keep going, like I've said before, yeah. going down on my wife is one of my favorite freaking pastimes in the world. If I get paid for it, I would have been rich by now. But you also got to know that, like, once she hits that point, let your jaw rest for about 30 seconds, let her take a breath for about 30 mm-hmm. seconds, and then go back to it if you want to keep going.
Yeah, but you still have to climb, right? You have to climb back to the top. You can't just assume that you're at the top again and start right back, right? That's exactly it. But you could go and yeah, you can envision kids, you know, running around and go racing up the stairs. So you can go back up there, race right up there, do gentle and get her aroused much faster and get her over the cliff again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think that, like there's it, like the whole idea of like coming together usually never happens. So if someone's I think it's happened to me like a couple times, but over like a very prolonged period of like sex with someone. But usually if there's like, you know, you're that Hollywood thing of like, yeah, you know, you came to get like, it's not happening. And then also, I think like women who fake, who are like really adept, like they, you like the whole pulsating thing, especially on the inside. So like women who fake, like they know that, right? But an orgasm is different than like, for say, like when a woman does like a Kegel. Like a Kegel is something that I think that's a lot. Like if you clench your pussy, which a lot of women do, they fake, it's a slower movement. But when you're having an orgasm, that it's more like a pulsating like clench than
throbbing,
it is like one and then out and then one and then out. And so, I think like that's a more like advanced way to tell kind of internally, like if a woman is taking it should, and like everything clenches, like including like your butthole, like and you should see that kind of pulsate, like, you know, I think it's
like more, spasms, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's spasm. Really... It's a spasm. It's more of a spasm than like a Kegel, which, if that makes sense.
No, that's a very good point. Because Kegels are, and that's why Kegels are pelvic floor muscles. They were just recognized by somebody named Kegel. So the Kegel exercises is when we do, when we clench those, we practice clenching, like basically so that we stop peeing, and men can do them too. But, and so that's why doing them strengthens the same muscles that contract during orgasms, which means when they're stronger, they can contract harder during orgasms and feel better. But yeah, you're right. So somebody can't usually clench. Can't do Kegels fast enough to mimic a really a strong orgasm. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So
it's a good point. So I think you should talk. And I think that it's helpful that to have an agreement with your partner that there's no faking orgasms. Because again, when you fake orgasms, you're sending the wrong message. You're telling somebody that what they did got you to orgasm. And if, when that's not true, it's really frustrating because they'll keep doing the same thing, thinking, hey, that worked before, but it didn't. So much better to have a deal, no fake orgasms. If you want to stop the sexy, we stop the sexy. But if your partner stops the sexy frequently without getting her orgasm or his orgasm, then you might want to think about how can you do different things sexy wise, because everybody is entitled to have good orgasms on a regular basis. It shouldn't just be about one person just because one person has a cock and one person doesn't.
And I think you're doing someone a disservice by not telling them. Like it doesn't make them, it only makes them, I would say, like even a worse lover, like, or just.
Yes.
Because, and I don't think anyone wants that, right? Like I don't, I think everyone wants to be able to, like, you know, lack of a better term, get someone off, be good in bed, like all this kind of stuff. But like, you're never going to be good if you don't aren't be willing to, like, you know,
be straightforward.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there's also, I mean, I guess we got a few minutes left. We can talk about, there's got to be a tack that you have to take to letting your partner know, like from a female standpoint, you can't just go, oh, by the way, I didn't. Or like, you can't just, while he's sitting there going to town and trying to help you, just go, yeah, not going to happen. See ya. Like, you've got to, like, and you soften, can't hold on to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't hold on to it and then use it in a fight. And this is what, you know, stood out in that article is that you, that's not a punch that you need you need to be throwing. Right. It's a, hey, if you're actually in a committed and I'm not going to say open relationship. If you're in a committed relationship with great communication, which is what makes a great relationship, I mean, I've been saying it for over a year. Communication is freaking key. If you're in a relationship with great communication, you need to be able to tell your partner that stuff. You don't hold on to it and save it for a rainy day when they piss you off, or you can, you know, use it as a way to hurt them.
So I think in the midst of sexy stuff, I think there are times where women can enjoy sexy stuff, but not necessarily have the energy or the drive or the arousal to get to orgasm and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's totally okay to be like, hey, I love it when you're down there. I love it. Feels so good. This is awesome. You can stay as long as you want. I just want to tell you, I don't think my body is in the zone where it's going to get to orgasm, but this still feels great. And I really appreciate it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I think you can be able to say that, but if you're doing it all the time, if you're hearing that all the time, you need to recognize you're not giving her the arousal she needs. So you have to do something different, whether that's getting her brain in the game, right? By incorporating some sexy stuff, by context, maybe more stimulation, more, you know, more time, not as rushed, whatever. But you have to be able and willing to do that if it happens on a long term. But being able to say, hey, this is fun, right? I like this, but it's still not going to get me off. I think that needs to be okay sometimes too.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you just turn it around and say it like, you know, make it less about like his actual performance and more about like what he can do to improve on that for you, you know, like, or.
Yeah. Like, I think afterwards, I think giving debriefing sexy stuff is really important. Talking about what somebody really likes. It doesn't even have to be, and it shouldn't be like 5 minutes after sexy, because we should just enjoy that. But I mean, sometime at dinner, sometime on a day where sexy fun isn't, we're not in the midst of it. It could be, okay, let's just talk. What sort of ideas? What really turns you on? When do you have the greatest orgasms, right? When are you dying for an orgasm? What do I do that excites you the most? What do I do that excites you the least? You know, do I ever get you close to the top and then let you drift down? And having these conversations outside of sexy fun is when we can be constructive and honest and use our head to sort of understand or think back and look. And that's when we can learn and then do better in the midst of sexy.
Yeah.
But in the midst of sexy, when somebody's trying to focus on their body and the pleasure, asking them to tune into their head to think, right? To think. That's the key. If you have to think, you're not feeling so much. So in the midst of sexy, asking somebody to think is going to take them out of their body. And then you're going to have to start arousing their body all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. So I think that's it. And everybody should have the conversation. And maybe it doesn't need, maybe we don't need to have mea culpas. Maybe it shouldn't be, oh, have you ever and tell me when. Maybe it should just be, I'm going to kind of assume that you've probably faked an orgasm and let it go at that. And let somebody be like, okay, so let's just talk about moving forward. Let's agree not to fake them. And let's talk about why would you? What would come up or what would have stopped you from doing that? What can I do? What else do you need? And again, realize that your path to orgasm, you know, this little favorite path is not necessarily the other person's favorite path. And sometimes you need to take each one. That's my thought.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to end.
All right.
Good sentiment to end.
Cool. So go. Yeah. Go. Oh, 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 oh. Real O, O, O.
Real O.
Yeah, real.
Real O's. Only real O's.
It's not real.
Like
it's
a cereal.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my goodness. So, all right. Well, cool. All right. Well, thanks so much, Aaron and Tina. And I'm Beth Darling, Sexy Genius from Come With Us podcast. And, of course, please, if you want to find out more about my classes and everything like that, please go to sexyedschool.com. Use promo code Come With Us to get 20% off your sexy education so that you don't have to fake. You don't have to worry about them faking. And you have lots of tools and tricks and techniques to make it good. All right. For everybody, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with us. This is the podcast you need for the bare naked truth about love, sex, and relationships. I'm Beth Darling from sexyedschool.com for Aaron and Tina. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Come With Us podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at Come With Us Podcast and send in your questions, comments, and confessions to comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Until next time, keep it fun, flirty, and naughty.